As we light the second candle on the Advent wreath, the scripture reading for today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, today being the second Sunday of Advent, we light this candle of peace, and it reminds us of the peace that Jesus Christ brings to a world often filled with chaos and despair. Advent is a season of anticipation, not only for the celebration of Christ's birth, but also for his return in glory. Will you join me in prayer? Our most beautiful Holy Father, your name is above all names. The glory of your person defies our imagination. You are altogether holy. And we who are not, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you for all that you are. And we thank you that in all of your glory you sent your Son. And we thank you that your Son came so willingly. In this season, dear Lord, we are reminded that we are not here just to, in the month of December, we are not here just to exchange presents and have meals and have some laughter with family and friends. This is not just any ordinary holiday. This is the celebration that the Christ, the Messiah, was born. And because of this great moment, we are able to turn wholeheartedly to you, dear God. Through the veil of your Son's blood that has been rained down on us in grace, we are able to approach your throne of grace with confidence. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Bless this church family now. Bless this church family for this Christmas season, dear God. And Father, please, let your peace be made known throughout this world. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in your Son's most beautiful name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we're talking about the journey of Advent. And as we discuss this journey, Isaiah's prophecy from Isaiah 9:6, which we read just a moment ago, it paints a picture of hope for you and I. The coming Messiah is to be called the Prince of Peace. But what is this peace? It is not merely the absence of conflict. Amen? We can not be in a war and still have no peace. Because the peace that our God offers us is something that is more intrinsic to our very person and our very character. The hand of Christ is a hand that reaches in and across this great world, reaching down from heaven, piercing the darkness of this world, piercing the darkness of our hearts. Advent, as we already mentioned, is a season of anticipation. And what is it we are anticipating? That the peace that you and I now know, the peace that we hold to and that we love, will be known by all the people across the entirety of this world. And that also this peace and this love that we now know, that it will be fanned into an even greater flame within our chests. And that the day will come where, as the scripture testifies, we will meet him in the air. And we will be transformed instantly in the twinkling of an eye. That we will become all that we were always meant to be. For we will see him as he really is. This peace that we have is not just an absence of strife. It is a peace rooted in a hope. And the hope that we are rooted in is not a wish, but it is a living and abiding eternal hope. Brothers and sisters, when you and I come to church, especially during the Christmas season, as we come celebrating the advent of the Christ child, we understand that the peace that the world needs is the shalom of Jesus Christ. The peace that only Jesus Christ can offer. And I ask you this in all sincerity. If you have the peace of Christ, could you please say amen? Amen. It is real. It is true. And it is something that has been offered to you and I in abundance. It is something that you and I can take hold of and internalize and make our own. And not just at Christmas, but throughout the entirety of the year. Amen. Of all of our years while we yet trod on this ground, it can be ours. And this is not just our job. It is our blessing. Amen. But it is also, I hate to use the term job, but it is our purpose that we have been put here to win this world with the peace of Jesus Christ. The phrase, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, we find out something. Isaiah is not mixing words, is he? Isaiah isn't just saying, oh yeah, and there's going to be this baby. He made it very clear who this child would be. We will call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Even Isaiah, more than 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, was prophesying that this babe that would be born would in fact be a revelation of the Lord Most High, a self-revelation to this world of the person of God. The phrase refers to the Messiah's rule over the world. Which phrase? The one that said, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." A lot of people read this passage, and I think that they miss it a little bit. They read it, and then they look at our government and all of its problems. They look at the world around and all of the problems that seem to be created and promoted by different governments here and there. And they say, but the Scripture says, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." So if the government is upon his shoulder, how come the government has so many problems? Well, quite simply, because this isn't talking about politics, brothers and sisters. It's talking about God's kingdom. It's talking about the government of God that comes into our lives. That when this mighty God comes, when this wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace comes, that his government, which will be established on the foundation of his shoulders. The Hebrew word shakem, translated as shoulder in Isaiah, refers to the neck area between the shoulders where burdens are placed. You and I can kind of get a picture of like somebody carrying an amphora or a box of some kind on the shoulder like this. We can also think of beast of burdens that were tied together by a yoke, and that wooden yoke would go across their shoulders in this area, and that the burden would be upon that area and they could shoulder it, so to speak. They could walk with it. And this terminology here is saying that Jesus Christ will be able to shoulder the burden of this government, that this never-ending Prince of Peace, peace, who grants you and I never-ending peace, a peace that is not a wish but a living hope, a peace that is tangible and real, that touches our hearts and changes our lives, that Jesus Christ, in fact, can shoulder this burden, that Jesus Christ can be our Prince of Peace. I don't know if any of you are following the news right now, but the nation of Syria was just toppled, if you did not hear that. I already, just this morning, got some news. Apparently, Assad, the former king of Assyria, they called him the police king because he ruled by police force. And supposedly, there are as many as 100,000 people in prison in Syria. Anybody that ever disagreed with him got sent to prison. His family had ruled for the last 50 years after they stole the government from the previous people. But just now it has been toppled, and I had heard that he had taken up refuge in Russia. I also got a report this morning that he died in a mysterious plane crash. I don't know what the truth is. I'm sure that you and I will be seeing more news blurbs shortly about this. But right now, there are people in Syria walking out of jails The rebels that just overthrew the Assad government went in and started smashing the locks on all of the prison doors. And supposedly the streets are filled with people walking down the street, holding up fingers with different numbers on them, showing how many years they had been in captivity because they dared to disagree with a king. But you and I, we worship a king whose governance towards you and I is one of peace, is one of love, and it's one of hope. And brothers and sisters, what a beautiful picture it would be if you and I, in just moments to come, when we walk out of this church building, or when we walk out of the doors of our homes later tonight to come back for the party, or whether it's tomorrow morning as we go to work, how wonderful it would be if we walked into the world and said, I lived 30 years in bondage to sin. I lived 10 years in bondage to sin. I lived 50 years in bondage to sin. But somebody broke the lock on the door and set me free. Somebody made it possible that I could walk down these streets and lift up my voice in song, a song of praise and adoration to my God. Somebody set me free, and his name is Jesus. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, where once upon a time my name could have been beaten, crushed down, bruised, abandoned, destroyed. He had a new name for us, and that new name at this moment could best be described as peace and hope and joy and reunion with the Father. Brothers and sisters, in a world right now where those who were just held captive showed us what freedom is like, you and I who live and reside not just in the freedom of America, but most importantly in the freedom of Jesus Christ. Because for all of you freedom-loving, liberty-loving Americans out there, there's a beautiful passage in the Scripture. Where there is liberty, there is Christ. And might I say, where there is liberty, it is only because of Christ. Because we could be the freest people in this world, and our souls could still be so damaged because we were enslaved to sin. But God has set the captives free. I hope that this idea about the governance and the government of Jesus Christ coming alive in you, that the shoulders of Jesus Christ are strong enough to bear your load, your sin load, your sin debt, your burdens, your challenges, that in this new family that we are in, our Savior's shoulders are strong enough to carry all of it and then some. Because in addition to there being no end to his governance, brothers and sisters, our God is a mighty God. And I hope this gives you a little bit of a new understanding. When in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, the New Testament, when he says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brothers and sisters, oh, how often it can seem as if the entire world is coming down on our shoulders. I would imagine if you are here and you are alive, that you have had days in your life that you thought, surely I am going to be crushed under this weight. But the shoulders of Christ can bear it. He wants to take that yoke of all of the sin and the slavery to sin. He wants to take that yoke of the depression and the anxiety. He wants to take that yoke of all of the challenges, of all the insults that have ever been hurled at you, at all of the attacks, at all of the times that you were even a hater of thine own self. He wants to take all that is so heavy upon your shoulders. And the imagery we get from Isaiah 9:6 to Matthew 11, 28 through 30 is that he wants to take that off of you and carry it himself. And then he says, and here is your yoke, and it's light and it's easy to bear. Why? Because it's the yoke of the peace of God. In a world that clamors with noise and division, Christ offers us a peace that surpasses all understanding, says Philippians 4:7. I thought I'd give you the address for that verse because I know it's one I quote to you guys often and always. This peace that surpasses all understanding. His peace anchors us in the storms of life. It is a peace that quiets anxious hearts and calms troubled minds. The holidays are a time that should be about so much joy. You know, much like you, maybe you all are on Facebook too, or have some social media of your own, or you watch TV or the news or something. It never ceases to amaze me that every holiday, some attack against Jesus Christ or his people makes it into the public arena. Every Easter, they rediscover some new gospel that says, oh, Jesus wasn't God, or oh, Jesus was married, or oh, this, or oh, that. There's always something that comes out attacking Jesus every holiday. This last Easter was one of my favorites for these because that great quote came out about how Easter is really the celebration of Ishtar, an ancient Egyptian, Babylonian-esque goddess of fertility. And so every time you say Happy Easter to somebody, you're actually saying like Happy Pagan Holiday. I have good news for y'all. None of that is true. They say Ishtar was marked by rabbits and eggs. No, it wasn't. Eggs have nothing to do with Easter. Yes, they do. You know, I said, they do? If you were to review in the Old Testament about the Ark of the Covenant, one of the things that was carried in the covenant was an egg. Why? Because it was symbolic of new life. Brothers and sisters, you and I are the living symbols of new life in Christ Jesus. What the egg meant in the ark thousands of years ago was a forward look to what you and I have in Jesus Christ. We have new life, and all God's children said. Now, brothers and sisters, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I've had it up to here with bad news. Can I get an amen? Amen. I have had it up to here with bad news. Next person that says something bad to me, I'm going to throw them off a bridge. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. Enough with thee. No. But brothers and sisters, there is more than enough bad news in this world. But for you and I, our perspective is so different. Every time I get a cramp in my heart, I'm one step closer to Jesus. Every time I stub my toe and I'm reminded of my mortality, I'm reminded I'm one step closer to Jesus. Every time I get a sniffle, I'm one step closer to Jesus. If I ever get to be in a country that's at war again, or if I ever get to make it anywhere close to the front lines, I'm one step closer to Jesus. You and I, our perspective should be so different than the rest of the world. There's a lot of trouble in this world. Yes, there is. And every day we're all getting one step closer to Jesus. There's not much peace in this world. I know there's not. But in my soul, there is peace because Jesus Christ reigns there. And in your soul, there can be peace because Jesus Christ reigns there. And the challenge, brothers and sisters, is this for today. If your soul is not experiencing the peace of Jesus Christ, there is only one thing that you need to do to get it in there, and that is change your mind about where you are in this world. Why do I put it that way? Because as I look around this room, I got a strong feeling that everybody in this room probably has Jesus Christ in their heart already. And if you have Jesus Christ in your heart already, then guess what? It is there, and he is ready, willing, and able to be taken full advantage of by you so that his peace can reign in your heart. I have news for you. God does not want to hold his peace back from you. Can I get an amen? And this is part of the abiding message that you and I have. As we journey through Advent, we are called to reflect this peace in our lives. This real peace. This peace grounded in a real hope. Not some flimsy wish, but our reality. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." What a beautiful thing to be called, amen? Amen. And you and I in Christ Jesus, we have that. We are the children of God, brought near, as the scripture says, by the spirit of adoption. We have been granted new life in him. Therefore, the role of the peacemaker is a role that you and I should adopt freely, willingly, naturally, because it's a mission and a ministry that belongs to the children of God. The peacemakers shall be called children of God. You and I are children of God, so let us be called and be known as peacemakers. Amen? Brothers and sisters, how do we be these peacemakers? At one point or another, when you find yourself in a moment of strife, maybe you're in a moment of strife with a loved one, maybe a spouse, maybe a child. Maybe some of you are on the verge of saying words that are hard to come back from. Maybe there's some moment that might seem as if we can't redeem ourselves within those moments. In those times, the peacemaker has to be in such a relationship with God that he allows the good Lord to hold their tongue. That he allows the good Lord to silence their lips. Or that he allows the good Lord to open their mouths and speak words of healing. It is sad when families, friends, and churches do not live together in peace. The older I get, the more I realize one of the most beautiful things, perhaps the most beautiful thing on the face of this earth, is truly when brothers and sisters and friends and church brothers and sisters live together in harmony. There's a scary passage in the scripture, and it says, "Six things the Lord hates, and yea, a seventh that he despises." Now, I don't know about all you, but sometimes it challenges me to think that there are six, let alone seven things that the Lord hates. Oh, but I'm sure there's plenty of things in this world that do not live up to his approval. But if you know the nature of the Old Testament, the scripture is written in such a way throughout much of the Old Testament that there's something called Hebrew parallelism. Hebrew parallelism is the name given to Hebrew poetry, and there are many ways that it is expressed. But one of them is in an advancing terminology, where there will be a number of things that are made in a list, but the one that's the most important is the one that they're going to get to. So it'll give you this truth, and you go, yeah, yeah, and then this truth, yeah, 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 but now hear this. And that seventh thing that the Lord despises is a brother that stirs up dissension amongst the brethren. You might sit there, you might go, whoa, wait a minute. The thing the Lord despises? The thing that he more than hates? Is that? Out of all of the horrible sins that exist in the world, that's the one he despises? Yeah. Why? Because brothers and sisters, church family, we are the light of this world. Amen? And when the light looks like the darkness, when the light lives like it's in the darkness, there's a problem. Because I think that there are lots and lots of things in this world that God hates. He hates crime. He hates the vile maliciousness that's in this world. He hates the atrocities that we see going on in these wars on the other side of the world. He hates child abuse. He hates spousal abuse. He hates abuse, period. Amen? But what is the remedy for all of those? It's the people of God who live in the living hope of the peace that Jesus Christ gives them. And when the church fails to be this living light unto the world of the eternal peace of the Christ child, the Messiah, what hope is there for the rest of the world? What hope is there for this world when the church is not the church? Without the church, brothers and sisters, it's pretty bleak out there. Amen. But I have it on good authority, though. And I have it with high hopes that you and I can win this world for Jesus Christ. You and I can be used to reach this world for Jesus Christ. Do you understand how important you are in the cause of Jesus Christ? You have been given from God's holy throne a purpose, a job, a ministry, a blessed opportunity to join Him in His work. What is that going to look like for us? As a church family in this coming year, I hope that we're going to do something to help the poor people of the Ukraine. I hope we're going to continue in our allegiance with the Romanian Baptist Association. I hope we find a way to bless those gypsy people with their own church and their community. I hope we find a way to bless that other church in Romania that has the preschool that the one lady has been running it for 30 years. Costs a child $25 a month to go to preschool over there. And still, that's more than most families can afford. I hope we find a way to bless that lady, that pastor's wife and her ladies that sew the bulletproof vests for their children as they go off to war. I hope we find a way to affect this world for Jesus Christ. And I also hope that we, on more of a local basis, or shall I say a regional basis, I hope that we find a church that we can help to foster in our association. I hope that we will be able to take one of the two or three churches that are fairly close to us that might not make it another year or two without people coming and preaching in their churches for them, without ministry teams coming and helping to undergird their own ministries, without, even to a degree, financial help. But I also hope that on a very real level, there will be interpersonal growth in Jesus Christ, in His Scripture, and in the fellowship of the saints that takes place in this church family. God is not done with this church. Amen. Last Sunday marked my, I guess, 7th year anniversary as your pastor. As the pastor of this church. I hope y'all don't regret the choice yet, because I'm still enjoying myself. But brothers and sisters, this church, if we look around us right now, those of you who've been here for a while, you know that an awful lot of this church over the last 7 years is a brand new congregation. An awful lot of the people that go to this church were not here 7 years ago. And sadly, an awful lot of the people that were here 7 years ago are not here now. They have preceded us in glory. God bless them. They're much more fortunate than we are. Turning cartwheels down streets of glory. But brothers and sisters, if you and I resolve to hold out for Jesus Christ, if you and I resolve in our hearts to live this living hope of the peace of Jesus Christ, of his yoke being upon us, which is light and easy to bear, and believing that he has taken the yoke of our sin and our slavery upon his shoulders. And if we have another 7 years that have been the same as the last 7 years, this church is going to be twice the size with new people. Do you have faith and do you have hope that God is doing something in your midst? Do you have faith and do you have hope that he is not done with this church? Brothers and sisters, I believe that this church has a glorious future ahead of it. Let's praise our Lord and our God. Let's love our Lord and our God as he envelops us in his peace and in his living hope. Take it upon you. Wear it as a shroud about you. Proudly proclaim that you belong to Jesus Christ. Get ready to be a part of a church that affects people who sit here, churches in our local region and around this world. Let's join the ranks of the churches that truly are out to save their world. This Advent, just as I am sure your hearts have been prepared, let's prepare them all the more for our Prince of Peace. Let us pray for his peace to reign in our hearts and our world, and let us embody his peace, becoming agents of reconciliation and love. Now, this agents of reconciliation and love, I know I already mentioned a little bit about Syria, but allow me just this one moment to speak about one of my adversaries in this world. You all know that I am devastated, crushed, angered, and perplexed about what Russia is doing on the other side of the world. As Syria became free today, it's a big black eye for Russia because Russia supported the Assad regime. Russia has its only naval base in the entire area in Syria. I don't think they're going to have it much longer. I think that the new Syrians are going to say, goodbye, Russia. We know who you were supporting, and it wasn't us. There is a new day for that country. What's going to happen now? Is another evil person going to come to power? I certainly hope not. Is there going to be more war? It's not looking like it. Apparently, the army didn't even try to stop the rebels as they moved into Syria. Right now, there are people that have been let out of jail who have been there for so many years. And they're showing with raised fingers the years they lived in bondage. That is a physical picture of what God wants to do for so many people spiritually in this world. Let it not be lost on us that we play a role in that. As we await his return, we find assurance in his promise, which is found in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Brothers and sisters, as I shared, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is an eternal fount of peace and love and hope. And you notice of this peace, he says, my peace I give to you. It is yours for the taking, brothers and sisters. So many people are so sad at this time of the year. The Christmas blues are a real thing. People have struggled with it over and over and over. I wish to encourage you with a loving challenge. If you are having a difficult time rejoicing in the holidays because of some wrong that you have suffered or some loss that you have experienced, please put that yoke on Jesus Christ. His shoulders can carry it. Take Christ's yoke upon you, for it is light and easy to bear. And brothers and sisters, as we move forward into Advent and into Christmas, let his peace reign in you. Will you join me in prayer? our most beautiful Lord. Father God, we draw near unto you now. Father God, I pray for each person in this room right now. I pray for our sister Inga, who's in a hospital room right now. I pray for anyone and everyone associated with this church family right now, dear God. And Father, I pray your peace upon them. I pray your love upon them, dear God. And we pray one for another. And my prayer also, Lord God, is that my church family even now is praying for me. I pray, Father God, that your ears in heaven are hearing holy words coming from the hearts and minds of your people right now, with well wishes for those on our right and on our left and before us and behind us, the well wish of the love and the peace and the grace and the mercy and the hope of Jesus Christ lavishly being poured out on each person. Father God, let us not be a church that speaks flimsy words. Let us not be a church that just says the words and doesn't mean them. Oh, but Father God, from the deepest recesses of our hearts and our minds and our very souls, we cry out to you right now, dear God. Father, let your love light upon our brothers and sisters. And Father God, please move through this city. Move through this region and this nation. Move through this world, dear God. And Father, let us all know, and let all the peoples of this world know, that in Jesus Christ, your very best has arrived. In Jesus Christ, the very hope of God can come alive within our chests. As we live out your peace, dear God, may we take it to the uttermost places in this world. And let us see this world transformed, dear God. And now, Lord, if there is one here today that has a decision to make, maybe there is someone here, Lord, that needs to ask your Son into their heart as Lord and Savior. Maybe there is someone here, Lord God, who has received your Son as Lord and Savior, but has never followed in baptism. Perhaps there are baptized believers here, Lord God, that need to join the church, Father. Lord, whatever and however you are putting a decision on the hearts of your people, as you do, Lord, give us the strength to say it is well with our souls, and let us respond to your holy unction. We love you, O Lord our God. And it's in your Son's most beautiful name we pray. Amen. Will you please rise, brothers and sisters?